just to start with, and we'll see what it's like. Now, when did you come to Cartmel?
We came. My father was appointed.
Yes. Would you like to start again and just say, when did you first come to Cartmel?
We came when my father was appointed in 1910.
Right. So you came to Cartmel in 1910.
Yes, we had been at Walney Island, where I was born, because he had been sent there with architectural experience to build a new church on Walney Island, because Vicarstown was expanding and there wasn't room for people in the old church. So when he'd done that and the church was built, he was appointed to Cartmel. And it would be October 1910 when we came. And my mother was pregnant with her son, Armand. And the first thing that happened was he decided to arrive early. And my father didn't know many people in Cartmel, but the verger lived just very near the vicarage gates. So in the middle of the night he went and knocked the verger up and said, "Do you know anyone who can come and help my wife, because she's going to have a baby?" He said, "Oh, my mother does them jobs." And he got his mother out of bed from upstairs, and she waddled round to the vicarage and found that Armand, my brother, had arrived before her on his own and was sucking his grandmother's thumb. And this was a great excitement because he was the first baby and the first boy ever to be born in the vicarage.
So the church... was he the first of the family?
No, I was the second.
Yes, he was the first, and you were the second.
No. Is this on tape?
Yes, it doesn't matter. It's all right. It doesn't matter. It's okay.
No, my sister had been born in Grange.
Ah.
My father's first curacy was Grange.
Yes.
He trained in Barrow-in-Furness with Archdeacon Beaufler at St. George's Barrow, and that's where he first went after he'd been at Theological College. And from there, when he got married, and when he was married, they sent him to Grange as curate, because they thought Grange was a nice place for a married couple. And then from Grange he was appointed to Walney, and from Walney to Cartmel. And that morning, after my brother was born, he was the third in the family, the church warden came round to say, might they ring the bells, because this was the first baby born in the vicarage. But my father declined the honour.
Yes. So you were the second in the family,
yes.
And he was the third. And was that? Did you have any more brothers and sisters after that, or not?
Yes.
Yes.
The other three, two brothers and a sister, were all born in Cartmel Vicarage during the war.
So there were five children in all. No.
Yes.
Five in all.
Yes. One. My next brother was born in 19. When did the war break out?
1914.
Yes, well, my next brother was born in 1913. And then in August 1914, my third brother arrived on the scene, and because there was a war on, he was registered as John Miles. And then my father's brother said, no, all the boys must be called Mackenzie. And so it had to be altered. And he wasn't John Miles, he was John Mackenzie.
Why was that? Why was your father so keen?
It's an old family name, Mackenzie.
Yes,
and
yes.
My father's eldest brother, who was head of the family really, asked that all the boys born should be called Mackenzie to prolong the old family name.
Yes, I see. Yes.
My other two brothers went in time, you see, so they went Mackenzie.
Yes, I see. Yes. So, then you... I remember you telling me that when the armistice came, in 1918, you helped your father ring the bells, is that right?
Well, no, to put the flag up.
Put the flag up, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Ah, I see. And but did
there was
they
a lot went on before that.
Yes, yes. Did they ring the bells before, did they ring the bells, did yes? they ring the bells here at the armistice?
I can't remember.
No.
I expect they did, probably.
I thought you told me they
I
did.
I think they probably
yes.
did.
Anyway, but, you helped them to put the flag up.
But the event was, it was, the armistice was signed at 11 o'clock on
yes.
the 11th of the 11th, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
And at about 11:30, my father came into the schoolroom, which was the dining room, where we did lessons with the governess.
Yes.
And he burst in and he said, armistice is signed, the war is over, who's coming up to the tower with me to put the flag up? That would be about 11:30. And so I was the eldest at home. My elder sister was away at boarding school.
Uh-huh.
And I went with him. And I'm not sure whether Armand, my brother, came too. He probably did. And we went up the tower, and that awful ladder over the bells, do
yes.
you know the bells?
Yes. Yes.
And there's this swingy ladder.
Yes. Yes. Very difficult.
I was very frightened of going up that.
Anyway.
But I did.
You did. Very good. That's fine. I think you did tell me also that during the war, or on one occasion, you heard a bell go, and your father thought it was something funny and went up to investigate with a gun in his hand. Is that right?
Yes, but I don't want to tell you that because I want to write it to the parish magazine.
That's
at this
all right.
Moment.
That's fine. No.
Well,
don't worry about that because whatever's printed here won't come out until after you've done your magazine. Job. When are you going to do the magazine job?
I thought I'd put it in June.
Oh, yes. Oh, well, that's all right. Well, we'll respect that. That's okay.
I'd
yes.
done one this week, you
yes.
see. I
yes.
don't want to do it every month.
Oh, no.
I mean, they get sick
no.
of me.
Quite.
But I have
yes.
promised I would do.
Yes.
Is it switched on?
Yes. Well, it's all right. It doesn't matter. It's okay. It's all right. We can... We're not going to reproduce these verbatim. We're just going to take
snatches
and
out of it.
The
other things about the war.
Yes, do tell us about that.
Were ration books for the first time.
Yes.
And I remember going
this
shopping in the village.
The First World War.
What?
The First War, yes.
First World
yes.
War. Going shopping in the village with my mother with a ration book.
Yes.
And having to be very careful because we could only have so much butter and so much sugar.
Mm.
And. Really, I don't think we really got enough to eat as children.
No.
We all were rather small, and I think it's partly because we didn't really get proper nourishment
yes.
in the First War.
Yes.
And we had a bad cook.
Yes.
Very dull. I remember not wanting to eat because the food wasn't nice, you know.
Yes.
And it was a war on.
Yes.
My father, on his letter weights, he used to had them on the breakfast table and weighed the slices of bread that everybody ate. To see that they weighed the right, they weren't eating more than they should.
Your father?
Yes.
I see.
And he was very conscientious about things like that. He rather enjoyed it, really.
Oh, well, I suppose that was being very patriotic, wasn't
yes.
it, really?
Well, it was to impress us that we must be careful
yes,
about, not to be greedy, you
I
see, and all
that
sort of
thing.
And the fact I think the result was that we didn't really get properly fed
yes.
because there wasn't the food, you know. We drank milk a lot. I remember drinking a lot of milk.
Yes.
And I remember creeping into the dining room when nobody was there and eating the butter because I wanted butter so badly.
Yes. You didn't get caught?
No. I was sick.
You were sick? Can you remember what sort of an impact the war had on the local people?
Yes. One of the things was special constables. They were always expecting spies.
Yes.
And they were always on the lookout. Everybody was very spy-minded.
Mm.
And the special constables were always guarding the reservoirs.
Oh, yes.
One of their things.
Yes,
they were
yes.
afraid the water supply was going to be
Boys.
Polluted.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then
yes.
they used to go out at night. I think they really had tremendous fun, probably,
mm.
between them. My father was one of them.
Yes.
And I don't know where they went. But this is going into my article too.
Yes, that's fine. Yes, my grandfather in London.
Was he a special?
He was a special constable. That was
yes.
during the war. Yes. Mm.
And then they had a fire brigade as well.
The
little hand fire engine that they could push by hand or drag or something. And the head of the fire brigade was Mr. Teasdale at the post office. He was the postmaster.
Yes, I've heard of him.
Harry Teasdale. He was the chief fireman. And they used to long for somebody to get on fire, and they did have they did have an alarm at Broughton Lodge, which is up the road to, now it's a block of flats. It was then a big private house belonging to Mr. Rydelsh. And I think his greenhouse got on fire or something. And so the fire brigade was called out to see to that. And of course it was quite a long way to go from Hartlepool with a hand machine.
Quite,
hand thing. And
was that dragged by horses, or did horses drag it, or
It was pushed by hand. A sort of little truck, I imagine.
Yes.
I don't know what it was like, really. I don't remember seeing it, but I heard about it.
Yes.
And they all went out and put the fire out in Mr. Rydelsh's greenhouse.
Well, can you remember much about the social life in the village? I mean...
Well, yes, I can. To start with, there were only three cars.
Three cars?
As I know of.
Yes.
Three people had cars, and there was a taxi at the Cavendish Arms, latterly. There was a Ford taxi at Cavendish Arms. But there was a great dividing line between the gentry and what were called the village people.
Yes.
And they didn't mix very much, except in things like the Mothers' Union and the Girls' Friendly Society and the Scouts, and there was a thing called the Church of England Men's Society, which is rather like what you have a men's group now.
That's right, yes.
It was the same kind of thing.
Yes.
And those were the things where they met.
Yes.
And in the war, they met over first aid lectures and, of course, the specials and the Scouts. Well, very much, they started in the war. My father was scoutmaster. But socially, the two groups didn't mix.
No.
And I remember as children being told we mustn't play with the village children. And, we had a nanny, you see, who was very particular about this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we were all steered clear of the village children.
Yeah.
And I was rather disgusted because I rather wanted to play with them.
Yes, well, I think children...
But now that's all gone, you see.
But
it was quite different in those days, and they didn't resent it at all. They just accepted that this was how it was. And we had our own personal friends. We had Remingtons at Ensom House. Not Ensom Manor, where the Lowes live now.
Yes.
There were some people called Remington who lived there, and they had the laboratory, which they analysed flour and bread and
what,
things like
that. What, at Ensom House, was that?
At Ensom House, yes. And there's still the remains of the old laboratory in the building yard by Ensom House.
Really,
And they had an adopted daughter who was a great friend of my sister's. They were the same age, and they played together, and they did lessons together. And then there were the Pearson boys at Stanley, at Tamley. Now, O'Neill Pearson was the person who bought the gatehouse and gave it to the National Trust.
Oh, yeah.
And he lived at Tamley.
Tamley,
which is on the way, round the corner by... on the way to Theo Broughton. And he had a wife, very kind person, and three sons who were the same age as my brothers. And they all played together very much, the Pearson boys. And, and my sister and I had a great contempt for them. Of course, they were younger than we were. And they had squeaky voices, which we didn't like. But they spoke French like natives, the boys did.
The boys did?
Yes.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I think they'd always talk French at home.
Yes.
And Pat and Neil and Jack. But they were quite fun, and Mrs. Pearson was a very kind, nice person. And I envied them terribly because they had Hornby trains and Meccano and all these things that I longed for, which were considered only boys' toys, you see.
I suppose now you would have been wanting to play for the village football team.
Yes, but I liked going to tea with them because they had these kind of toys to play with, you see, which were my ambition.
Yes.
And then further up the road at Woodbroughton were the Gravig family.
Gravig. Oh, yes.
Family at Woodbroughton.
Yes.
And they had two boys.
Yes.
And then later on a little girl arrived on the scene. And they were my sister and my age, the boys were.
Yes.
The same age as my elder sister and me. And we very much loved going to tea with them because they had pedal cars. And we didn't have any of these things, you see, because my father had a theory. I always wondered if it was really because he didn't want us to have them, that they were not good for children to have mechanical toys. It stopped their brains working or something. I think it was economy, really. And anyway, we loved going to tea with them because they had pedal cars and scooters.
Yes.
And we could ride them all over the grounds of Woodbroughton, you see.
Yes.
And they were very nice boys. They let us play with their things. And very nice boys they were.
Of course, in those days, I suppose the minister, although he was in the regarded as part of the gentry, as it were, wasn't drawing a very, I don't know what the salary was then, but I don't know what the salary was.
There was
then.
No money at all.
No, in a minute.
Very 300
poor.
A year, something like that.
Yes.
Well, you couldn't do much with that, could you?
No.
Beyond putting a swing up in the garden for
that's
the children,
right. Yes.
Which we had.
So your father really, apart from being the minister, he was also the special constable, and then he got the scouts going, you say? He got the scouts going.
Yes,
yes
he did. Take them to camp.
Did he do anything, I mean, and that's enough, but did he do anything else, or was it, those were three main things he did?
He was rural dean.
Rural dean as well.
Yes.
And that would be in the latter part of his stay here, was it? That's towards the end of his spell.
He was quite soon appointed rural dean.
Was he? Yes.
But he knew the area so well, having been at Grange,
and
been at Walney, and then come here.
I see.
They were, the other clergy were rather old, I think, elderly, you know. And I always remember him having rural decanal meetings at our vicarage.
Uh-huh.
And there was one old clergyman who came on a bicycle with a string saddle. It quite fascinated me.
With a what saddle?
String.
It's
like a little hammock
that
he sat on. I thought it was quite fascinating. I think he was vicar of Lindale. But anyway, that's my great recollection of the rural decanal meeting, was this bicycle with a string saddle.
I'm just going to stop for a minute. We can go on again now. Well, now, when your father came here as the vicar, I expect he probably made some changes at the Priory. Can you remember much about the sort of things he did at the Priory?
Well, I think he was a person who was loath to make changes. And very soon, you see, the war broke out and there was no money to do anything with in the Priory.
No,
there was no money to spend on the Priory. But the one thing he did do was the town choir, which was then used as a kind of junk room. It had a few benches in where they sometimes had choir practice and meetings, but otherwise it was used to do the oil lamps, to clean them, and the flowers were done in there, and there is a cold tap still against the wall where you can draw water. And all the cleaning apparatus was kept in there. There was no little kitchen at the back of the church like there is now. And it was just a sort of junk room.
Mm.
And my father, being an architect, knew that it ought not to be there. It ought to be a chapel, as it was intended first, the town choir, for the congregation to come into the monastic church.
Yeah.
So he put his wits together and decided that it must be restored as a place of worship. So he got the scouts on the job.
And
the scouts cleaned it up, tidied it up, raised money by giving a concert to buy some necessary things for it. And when it was finally, there was an altar put in it. It was what is called a riddle curtain, I think, behind the altar. It was a blue curtain on a rod, and the finials of the rod were scout badges. Ah. Big iron scout badges made by the smithy, by the blacksmith.
At
the blacksmith shop. Yes. He made the scout badges to go on the ends of the rod.
Yes.
And somehow they've got lost. Nobody knows what's happened to them.
Yes.
I think it was in Mr. Stiff's day that they disappeared. Anyway, that was one thing that was done. And then, of course, there was no proper seating. And during the war, Mr. Townley, who lived at Ivy House, was reported missing, presumed killed. And he had left a wife, who was a great friend of my mother's, and three small children. And this was a terrible thing for them. There was no sign of Mr. Townley, so he was presumed dead. And suddenly he turned up. And what had happened was he'd lost his memory, and he couldn't tell anybody who he was, and he'd also had two fingers shot off. But he came home, and of course there was tremendous rejoicing. And Mrs. Townley said she wanted to give something to the church as a thank offering. So my father said, well, we want chairs in the town choir. We want 40 chairs in the town choir. She said, right. She gave £10 and they bought 40 chairs, because the chairs were between 5 and 6 shillings each. They're very good, solid chairs that are still there.
Yes, that's wonderful.
And one of them has a little label on it to say that Mrs. Townley gave them.
What a good idea. Yes,
only wonderful. One's got it on, so people think that's the only chair she gave, but in fact she gave them all.
Yes.
And then other people gave things, altar furnishings. The two Miss Blagdons were famous characters in Cartmel, and they lived with their mother of 103 in Priory Close. And
Miss Blagdon. Yes.
And their brother was Bishop of Peterborough, Bishop Blagdon. But these two Miss Blagdons, they were great characters, that's the only way I can put it. And one of them was a beautiful embroideress, and she made a frontal for the altar in the town choir. It was called a pro-frontal, I think.
Yes.
It was just a strip across the front.
Yes.
It was beautifully embroidered. And I'm sorry to say that was sold in some antique sale of work, and I know who got it, and I've seen it since hanging in somebody's room, but it's very moth-eaten, of course, now.
It
was a very beautiful piece of ecclesiastical embroidery done by the sister of the Bishop of Peterborough.
That's very interesting.
And then various other people gave things, you know, and Mrs. Sam Taylor.
Yes.
Got two other ladies, and they embroidered that long needle in front of the altar rails with the lot of emblems on it, coats of arms.
The coats of arms of various dioceses.
Well, Mrs. Sam Taylor was in charge of that, and my brother's mother-in-law, Mrs. Harden, whose husband was Vicar of Field Orton, and I've forgotten who the other person was. There were three of them who did it, I think. So the town choir gradually got furnished bit by bit over the years.
Yes. That was wonderful, wasn't it? Well, I suppose you say there was no kitchen at the back of the church in those days, so the idea of having coffee after the service... Quite a new thing, I mean, relatively.
That was invented, I think, in Canon Fullerton's day.
Oh, yes.
I'm not quite sure who was vicar.
Yes.
But I tell you how it happened. There was a girl at the big school, the secondary school, who was the PT instructor. And she was a great person for the church. And she came to church and was very disappointed that it was, she considered, very unsociable. And she'd been in Canada where they had had coffee after the service.
Yes.
And she said, why couldn't we do that in Cartmel?
Yes.
And they thought it over and decided they could.
Yes.
And it was this girl's...
Yes.
Now, she married the son of the reverend man who did lived here at one time and is now vicar, he is vicar of St. George's Barrow. And she is now the wife of the vicar of St. George's Barrow.
And when did that happen, then? When can you remember how long ago it was?
I don't know who... Oh, I think... Tommy Legend's Day, I think.
Oh, Legend, yes.
Yes, quite recent, you
quite
see.
Quite recent, yes.
And, there was no... there was a tap down there latterly for doing the flowers. But
yes.
That's all. There was no proper kitchen.
Yes.
And they had an electric kettle, and they...
Yes.
They sort of, people bought things,
yes.
You know, to,
yes.
It was very gimcrack, and then they decided to build a proper kitchen.
Yes.
And that's fairly modern.
Mm. Well, I think we'll stop. Yes, well, that's very good. Now, if you could tell me something of what you remember of any special village customs that used to take place.
Any?
Village customs.
Well, I thought about it, and there really weren't many customs, actually, but people sat on the fish slabs to gossip. Always there were people sitting on the fish slabs, as far as I remember. The pump functioned, and the milkman washed his churns at it.
That's come through very well. Would you like to carry on now? I just wanted to make sure we were getting a good recording.
There were many babies born and big families. All babies were baptized during the week usually, not on Sunday, and all women were churched after childbirth. Children all went to the village school, primary now, until they were 13 or past 11 plus for the Alveston High School, where they went by train from Cork. There was a small private dame school at Laburnum Cottage next door to me. The gentry had governesses. Everyone went to church, mainly in the evening. All children went to Sunday school in the village school and then to church. The park was open to all the village, and children played in the beck running through and had picnics on the rocks. Cricket and football were played there, and except during 1914-1918, races were held on Whit Monday only. The entire course, railings, etc., and the grandstand were taken down the following week and stored in the tithe barn in Barngarth and in the barn shop, which was then a barn. There were four church bells were rung morning and evening and on Sunday, and a passing bell was always rung when people died. And I think they rang the number of peals of their age.
Oh, that's very interesting, isn't it?
Yes, I think that's what they did.
Yes, yes.
Industry is the next thing, isn't it, on the list?
That's right, yes, you're quite
yes.
Right. Industry and crafts, yes.
No, almost every trade was represented in the village. There were two blacksmiths, smithies, and two joiners, Clogger Beck and where Unsworth's garage stands, two or three builders, notably Thompson and Rawson, who also swept chimneys. Gascoigne's were plumbers, painters and decorators. There was a choice of gardeners, and many boys went to garden or farm on leaving school.
Could I just ask you, when you said that the builders swept the chimneys. Is that right?
It was.
The builders also swept the chimneys.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
Apparently seemed to, yes.
Sorry, I interrupted.
Many boys went to garden or farm on leaving school. Girls went into service. In the bigger houses, nearly everyone kept at least one maid, and most had more. There were also grooms and chauffeurs. The roads were mended with a steam roller at intervals and wet clay, no tarmac. An old man sat on a heap of big stones in the corner by the present racing stables and broke stones all day long for road mending. He wore wire spectacles to protect his eyes. These men were called stonebreakers. One is mentioned in The Tale of Two Cities.
Oh, that's interesting.
You're familiar with that?
Yes.
Road surfaces were hard and rough, and all footwear was leather or clogged. Shops?
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Three grocers, Teasdale at the post office, Crawshaw at what is now Spa, and Miss Lishman in Market Street, who sold yeast and lemons and bacon and cheese.
Now, Market Street, where was...
Well, I don't know whether that's the name of where the pump is.
Ah.
You know.
Yes. Yes.
Opposite the Priory Hotel, Miss Lishman was.
Yes, I see.
Near the Royal Oak.
Yes, I see. Yes, right.
Well, what do you call that street? It's Market not, Square, further up.
It's not Devonshire Square, is it? Is it Devon? No, that's nearer to the post office, nearer to Janet's, isn't it?
Where?
I'm not quite sure.
Nor am I.
No.
But I call it Market Street.
Right, okay.
Lack of another name.
Yes, I see, right.
Now, where are we? Oh, Teasdale cured his own bacon, also sold pots and hardware for kitchens, such as earthenware bread pans, very large bowls. Everyone made their own bread. Most families, yes, made their own bread. Besides industry, there were at least four dressmakers with thriving business. Few people wore ready-made clothes. There were two tailors who made farmers' best clothes and for ladies and children when needed. There was a milliner in the Larch Tree shop. That was a milliner, and she trimmed hats and varnished old straw hats or dyed them and made new ones for weddings. Where Eastside is, that house opposite the it was a bicycle shop, and he was known as the Umbrella Man.
Yes.
He sold umbrellas, and he covered old umbrella frames.
This is in Leaside.
Yes.
Yes. Well, that's interesting.
And I think it was some other kind of shop at one time. But anyway, the Umbrella Man lived there. In Cavendish Street, there was the shoemaker, Mr. Waring, and his son, who made clogs. They actually made clogs. And so...
Do you remember where that shop was?
Yes.
Yes.
It was where there is a sort of antique shop now.
Yes, I know.
Opposite the smithy in the corner.
Yes, yes.
With a big window.
Yes.
a sort of alcove, sort of.
It was opposite the smithy.
Huh?
It was opposite the smithy.
Yes.
Opposite.
Yes.
Yes.
Just a bit further up.
Yes.
And opposite the
yes.
smithy. That was a shoe shop.
Yes.
And he always had the window full of shoes. And he mended everybody's, soled and heeled everybody's shoes.
Yes.
People didn't buy new ones. They had their old ones soled and heeled.
Because they wore out. Yes.
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 And he put nails in men's shoes.
Mm.
With Miss farmers and people like that had nailed shoes.
Yes, I know what you mean.
And
yes.
so he did that.
Yes.
And he sold elegant, he sold, S-O-L-D.
Folded, yes.
Elegant ladies' footwear, in inverted commas, because he'd advertised it as such. Then there was Miss Wilson's, which now, there were three sisters called Wilson, kept what is now the Priory Shop. Always known as Miss Wilson's, nobody ever called anything else. Toys, Dutch dolls, tea things, hoops, whipping tops, buckets and spades, and everything china too. Paper and of course newspapers and stationery. Then there was Miss Overend in the Market Square, in the gatehouse shop. She was a draper and sold almost everything in the underclothing material line. Reels of ribbon, reels of cotton, buttons, and all haberdashery.
Was that what is now Kerr's, the bookshop?
No, that is what is now the National Trust.
Ah, it was on that side,
yes.
I see. Yes.
That side,
yes.
With the bow
yes.
windows.
Yes, I see.
And
yes.
that was Miss Overend.
I see, yes.
And
yes.
she was, she had very thick spectacles and couldn't see much. and she sold bathing dresses, or she'd order bathing dresses for you, and straw hats in the summer. She kept her surplus stock up in the gatehouse.
Oh.
There was a connecting staircase, you see, there
yes.
still is, isn't there? And she, if you, she hadn't got anything just handy,
I see.
She'd disappear upstairs
yes.
and dig it out of her store.
Yes.
And then there was the old eating house in Cavendish Street, or Mrs. Eyre's.
Yes.
And she had a bakery with an old brick oven. She made wonderful sponge cakes and little very hot ginger nuts, and had a cafe in the holiday season.
Had a what in the holiday season? Sorry,
a cafe.
Oh yes, yes.
And
yes,
you could go and get a cup
yes,
of tea
yes,
there.
Yes.
Her son-in-law had one eye, Mr. Campbell,
oh, yes.
and was a thief.
Was a what?
A thief.
A thief?
Yes.
I will
enlarge upon that.
Yeah, you what? I didn't realise that. I didn't realise Mr. Campbell had that reputation. I heard that he was almost described as a character.
A character?
Yes.
He was a character.
Hmm.
He was a very amiable person.
Yes.
And friendly.
Yes.
And he ran he waited if you wouldn't have a
yes.
meal there.
I,
he
I
looked after
yes.
that.
Yes, yes.
But, I'll tell you further on.
Yes.
Time is the next thing I
that's
think
right.
on the list,
yes,
isn't
that's
it?
That's right, yes, yes.
The village bobby lived at the old police house in Priest Lane. You know, there's a sign of the old police.
Yes.
That's where he lived. And had a lock-up underneath. He was everybody's best friend. There was a ring outside the house for people to tether their saddle horses. I remember two crimes. Mr. Campbell, from the eating house, came in the night and stole a huge crop of Vicarage plums and sold them in the shop and got away with it.
What, plums? Vicarage?
In the vicarage. He had a very lovely plum tree in the vicarage garden. He came in the night and took the lot.
Well, you would know about that, wouldn't you?
He was only very small when it happened.
Yeah.
But my mother said, oh yes, undoubtedly it was Campbell who did it.
Yeah.
But of course nobody ever prosecuted him.
Yeah.
He got away with it. The milkman, on the other hand, who shall not be named, was caught watering his milk at the village pump. What he did was to wash out his cans and leave some water in the bottom and then put the milk on top, you see. And he was summoned for this.
Yes, yes. Wait for measure.
And that's as far as I've got, I'm afraid. But I can go on, if you like, verbally.
Yes, perhaps you could tell me if there were any craftsmen, as you said, a walking stick man?
There were two condemned cottages beyond the Institute on what is now the car park.
Oh, yes, yes.
And in one of these lived an old man, by himself, I think, who made walking sticks.
Oh.
Very fancy ones. He used to go in the wood and cut his own sticks. And they had snakes crawling up them and ducks' heads. And
really?
Oh, very elaborate they were. Yes. They were very amusing.
Yes.
And he was very clever at it.
I see.
And he had a pile of them outside the house for visitors.
Well, I was going to say, it would be the visitors who would buy them.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
And my father bought from him.
Yes.
He made thumb sticks too.
Yeah, oh yes.
You know,
yes.
All sorts of fancy walking sticks.
Did he incorporate any animal horn into the handles?
Yes, I think he did.
Yes.
Duck's head, certainly.
Yes.
And snakes crawling up the
very
stick.
Interesting. Yes.
And because he used to go into the wood and get sticks that had bindweed wound round them, you see.
Yes.
I think it was bindweed.
Yes.
And then take them as they were and varnish them and dry them and everything.
Yes.
What exactly what he did, I don't know, but they were very fun, good fun sticks.
Yes.
He was good at it. There was that. And I can't think of any other particular crafts.
No, I just wondered if there were any sort of special carvers or people who cut stone work. Well,
not in the old days.
Yeah. I was interested in your remarks, though, about the builders sweeping the chimneys. So Rawson would have swept chimneys, would he?
Rawson was a chimney sweeper.
As well as
his father was, not
his father.
I think Rawson did too.
Did he? Yes.
His father went about on a bicycle with his chimney sweep brushes over his shoulder.
Yes, 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 I remember that, yes. I think. We'll see how that sounds now. Maybe a little bit loud.
Shall I say Tom Tom the Piper's
Son?
Fine,
yes. Just a second. Yes, I thought it would be interesting to ask you if you can remember much about the general health of the population, whether there was much TB about, whether there were any epidemics of any kind.
Oh, yes. Well, to start with, for us, the only available doctor was in Grange. There were no hospitals except Alverston Cottage and the Union in Alverston, the workhouse. There was a dentist in Grange. Now, as for epidemics, of course, in 1918, there was the great flu epidemic. And nearly everyone in Cartmore went down with flu. And the doctor went from house to house, lighting fires and opening windows. He said people must have warmth and fresh air. And as far as I know, no one died in Cartmore of the flu epidemic. I don't know whether I'm right. But finally the doctor went to bed and my mother and father did the medical rounds for him and took out the medicine and took temperatures. And funny thing, there was one old lady living in St. Mary's Lodge as a PG who was very funny old thing she was. She came up to my father and complained that he hadn't been to take her temperature. And so he said, oh, all right, her name was Rudge. All right, Miss Rudge, I'll come. So he got out the jam thermometer, which was about a foot long, out of the kitchen, a preserving thermometer, and took it round and said, "Come on, Miss Ranch," and pointed this enormous thermometer at her. And it was his little joke. But it was very serious, and people, somehow they got better.
What was the name of the doctor? Do you remember the name of the doctor?
The doctor in Grange was Lowther.
Oh, yes.
But there was a doctor in Cartmel who was very unpopular.
Yes,
my mother flatly refused to have him.
I remember you mentioning that to me, yes.
But I think he was probably all right. But she was a trained nurse and very fussy, you know.
Yes, I see.
What else happened in Grange? Oh, there was some TB.
Yes.
I remember a girl lying in a bed in the garden all the summer who had TB.
Mm.
And I don't suppose she got over it. Rose Pearson, her name was. Margaret Pearson, I mean, lived up from Hagg's Lane. And we used to go to her and take our flowers. And then there was a man in this house opposite me, where Colin, you know, and his family come for weekends, who had cancer. Obviously, we didn't know it was cancer, but he was upstairs in bed always.
Yes.
And he had three sisters living with him, and they all looked after him.
Yes.
And the smell from his bedroom is what I remember as a child.
Really?
An awful smell.
Yes.
Of course, they didn't know how to cope with smells.
Yes.
And otherwise, in Cartmel, I don't think there was very much illness. I think people were pretty healthy on the whole.
Mm.
The one thing was the water, which sent all the children's teeth bad.
Really?
I don't know what was the deficiency.
You?
They said it was the water.
You mean it stained the teeth, or it stained the teeth?
We all had bad teeth, the children. Yes, I had. I mean, I haven't got any of my own now.
Yes, yes.
And they said it was a lack of iodine, I think, in the water.
Or fluoride, possibly. Lack of
fluoride.
It's related to iodine. It's one of the... Yes. That's quite possible.
I don't remember really much about it, but I know they blamed it on the water.
It's quite possible. That's interesting.
Very soft water.
Yes.
But otherwise, I think... My father had hay fever, of course, all the time. And I dare say other people did too.
Yes. I see.
On the whole, we were pretty healthy.
Good.
The next thing you've got down is
fuel
and lighting.
Oh, what about the hospital was in Ulverston, was it?
What?
The nearest hospital was in Ulverston.
Yes, the cottage hospital.
I see.
And it was pretty primitive, I imagine. I never was there.
And then Kendall would have a hospital.
Yes, Kendall had a hospital. If you broke a limb, I think you were taken to Kendall, probably.
Yes, yes.
Or anything serious, you know.
Yes. Yes, I'd be interested in the lighting arrangements.
There was a district nurse.
Yes.
Who visited people.
Yeah.
And delivered babies and all that.
Yeah.
And then there was the verger's wife, who was a handy woman.
Yes, I remember you telling me about
her. She brought my brother into the world.
Yes.
And her son said, "Oh, my mother does them jobs. She lays out the dead and broadens the babies."
Oh dear.
Those were the days.
Yes, rather.
People survived.
They did.
You know, they did.
Yes. Yes, I was wondering if you could tell me something about the lighting arrangements.
The what?
The lighting arrangements in houses.
Yes. Yes. There were street lamps at various intervals.
Yes.
There was one at the end of Pepper Bridge here.
Yes.
There was one, I think, at that end of Barngarth.
Yes.
And they were paraffin lamps that were lit by a lamplighter.
I see, yes.
And there was certainly one outside the north door in the church.
Yes.
And the pillar in the middle of the market cross had a light on the top of it.
Lantern, which
was lit, paraffin lantern.
Yes.
But there was no other sort of fuel except paraffin.
Was that Mr. Campbell who was the lamplighter?
Was he?
Or was it his son?
Yes, I think he probably was.
Yes. Or was it his
son? His son was by way of being a bit of a musician. He had a falsetto voice.
Oh.
And sang in the choir with his falsetto voice. what was his name?
Frank, was it? Frank.
And he played the piano in the cinema in Grange, latterly. That was later on.
Yes.
He was a pianist.
Yes. Yes, I was also, did he...
Frank Campbell.
Yes, Frank, that's right, yes. And did he have something to do with the... With the telephone exchange, Frank? Did he have that?
He probably did.
Yes.
Yes, well, I don't think we certainly hadn't a telephone. Very few people had.
Yes.
And very few people had electric light. Because...
Yes, that came much later, didn't it?
They had... Some people had... Ainsham House and Ainsham Manor both had their own generators.
Yes.
And Hooker Hall, of course, generated their own.
Yes.
And... I don't think Wood Broughton generated. I think they had paraffin lamps. Certainly we had paraffin lamps.
Yes.
Everywhere. And candles. Went to bed with a candle.
Yes, yes.
And carrying
candles. Yes. I see. And I suppose fuel was mainly
coal.
Or wood.
Coal and logs.
Yes.
And the kitchen ranges. Everybody had a little kitchen range in their cottage. And
yes.
It was fueled with coal.
Yes.
Or scrap wood, if they can... hadn't gotten a coal.
Yes.
I've written something down here. People had acetylene lamps, some of them.
Yes.
Acetylene gas and bicycles.
Yes.
My father's bicycle had an acetylene lamp.
I can remember those. Yes.
And they hissed.
Yes.
And they smelt.
They did smell, they did, yes, that's right.
We used to borrow the acetylene bicycle lamp from him to make our model theatre, to give footlights with it. To be the footlights in our model theatre.
I see.
My brother Armand was always making theatres. His great joy in life was to get a big box and make it into a sort of miniature peep show theatre and light it with an acetylene lamp.
Oh, good idea. Yes, that's coming. That brings us on to leisure and entertainment, really.
Yes.
I was going to ask you
later on.
What entertainment was available.
No, all houses with cellars had chutes to put the coal down.
Yes.
I've got one out here.
Yes.
And the vicarage had
a
coal chute.
Yes.
And so all the coal lived in the cellar.
Yes.
Logs probably in a shed outside.
Well, that's very
fires were built up with slack. Does slack mean anything to you?
Yes, oh rather. Yes.
All the fires, it was very economical.
Coal dust.
Yes, coal dust.
Damp it
and
down.
Everybody built their fires up with slack.
Oh, I remember that.
And it made a lovely red hot fire once it got hot.
Yes,
it was very cold until it did.
Yes. Yes, that really brings us on to entertainment and leisure. Were there any music societies or...
Yes, there was a very good choral society.
Yes.
And I got some records of it in the parish magazines of their successes.
Yes.
Which I read out to the choral society once some time ago because they're very interested.
Yes.
And there was that, and then there was some drama that went on from time to time in the Institute.
Yes.
The only public room was the Institute.
Yes.
And the little vicarage room, which is now called Wheelhouse, isn't it called? As you approach the smithy from here, on the right, there's a very nice little house on the river.
It looks onto
the river.
Yes, I know,
well, that was part of the vicarage garden, and it was a parish room upstairs, and the scouts' headquarters downstairs, and that was used
that's
as a...
Just past the larch tree.
Past the vicarage.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm with you. Yes, yes.
You're down the road towards the smithy, past the vicarage, on the right.
Yes, I've got
there
it.
There is this house.
Yes, I remember. Yes,
on
I've got
the river just below it.
Yes, yes.
Beck.
Yes.
And it was in the vicarage garden originally.
I see. Yes.
And it was a potting shed downstairs and the scout headquarters and I think it was a hen house downstairs too. And upstairs it was the only small parish room.
That's
where the GFS and the Mothers Union and people like that met.
Yes.
And small meetings were held.
Yes.
It wasn't a very big group. And then the Institute was the only other thing there was.
Yes.
There was no parish hall or anything like that.
Yes.
And so any dances or socials had to take part at place in the Institute.
Yes.
And there was a stage at the far end of it.
Yes, I remember you telling me about your father trying to get the place enlarged.
He wanted to enlarge it onto the car park,
yes.
You see, because he realized it wasn't big enough.
Mm.
And he felt there ought to be more downstairs accommodation for meetings and things like that. And anyway, they managed, and they produced all kinds of concerts and things up there.
Did most of the people who actually produced the plays and so on, did they come from outside Cartmel, or were they part?
I think they were mostly Cartmel people.
Mainly Cartmel, yeah.
Yes. I think the opera in Cork had been going for many years.
Yeah.
I don't quite know how long that had, but they'd been doing it. They didn't do anything so ambitious in Cartmel, but they did put on concerts mainly,
yes.
And lantern lectures.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Lantern lectures.
Yes. Yes.
And my father was great on those, and he had one on stars that he used to put on, and all sorts of...
Yes.
I've got all the Cartmel slides.
Yes.
I've got pictures of Cartmel, old Cartmel, in lantern slides.
Yes. That's very interesting.
Of course, nobody's got a lantern now to show them with.
They're very valuable, the lanterns, aren't they? I believe some people collect them. They're still obtainable, I think, but they're collector's items now.
Lanterns.
Lanterns, oh yes.
There was somebody here who was able to get one, and he got it for me to show my lanterns, my slides once. But they're very rare things, aren't they?
But you haven't got it now.
No. No, he brought it up to the village hall for me. And worked for somebody who knew somebody who had one, you know.
And how was it illuminated? What was the...
They illuminated with a paraffin lamp, I think.
Yes, originally.
Might have been acetylene.
Quite have been quite dangerous, I think.
Yes. Oh, smoked like anything.
Yes.
And practically always the slides are put in upside down.
Yes. Yes, people forget that, don't they?
Yes. Now, what have I got down for?
I suppose
there was football and cricket in the park always.
Yes.
They had good cricket and football team. Concerts and acting in the Institute. There was a pageant at Ainsham Manor one summer for children. And we all had to act a nursery rhyme.
Oh, yes.
And they had a stage built with a lot of evergreen all round it in the garden. It was a fete, really,
yes.
A pageant. A garden fete run by Lady McGregor, because Sir Evan and Lady McGregor lived at Ainsham Manor, and he had been First Secretary to the Admiralty and was knighted. And so they were a rather frightening couple. They were all very, very, very proper. anyway, they gave this garden fete to raise money for the Red Cross or something like that, and we had this pageant of nursery rhymes. And we all dressed up, I remember.
Miss Muffet and so on.
Huh?
Miss Muffet.
Yes. I was baby sleep. I had a long dress and a doll to nurse. And other people were Little Boy Blue and, you know, all nursery rhymes were. And that was a sort of tremendous event, you see.
Yes.
It was a great entertainment. The great entertainment in Cartmel, I clearly remember, was the circus.
Yes.
And Sanger's Circus came to Cartmel and put its big top up in the Cloggerbeck Field.
Yes, in the Cloggerbeck Field.
Cloggerbeck,
yes.
Yes. And the field that is opposite Cloggerbeck.
Yes.
Where the buses stop.
Yes.
That field.
Yes. Where the school is.
Yes, between the school and Cloggerbeck.
Yes.
And that's where the big top was put up.
Mm.
And it went for 2 days, I think. And everybody went to the circus until... one evening, some rather rowdy young men went and seating all collapsed. It was tiered seating, you know, round, and there isn't a circus. And it collapsed, I believe. I can't remember, I was too small to remember really what happened. But my brothers were quite mad about it. They were Armand was about 4 or 5, and then the O'Neill Pearson boys, who lived at Tanley, were the same age, and these three little boys went quite crazy in the circus. They copied the clown and they copied Pimpo and they copied everybody for the rest of the year, you know. They were always being part of the clown crowd, which was a great event.
Yes.
You see, elephant. The real thing I remember clearly was a procession of wild beasts through Cartmore.
Yes.
Elephants, camels, horses, little tiny ponies, miniature ponies, and clowns and people. They started from the park, because I think the really wild animals' cages were in the park.
Yes.
And they set off from there and walked up through Cavendish Street, past the smithy, past the vicarage gates, and up Priest Lane, and then down towards Tullabet from Priest Lane.
Yes.
This procession.
Yes.
Of wild animals.
Did they have any...
An elephant.
Any lions, or...?
Yes, but I didn't know whether they were... I think they had to be in their cages.
Yes.
And
yes.
They're on wheels in cages, I think.
Yes.
I certainly remember the elephant.
Yes.
And these little ponies were the things that I fell for. They were tiny, you see. And there was an enormous man in a red coat with a long whip. And I burst into tears, and somebody said, "What's the matter?" I said, "That man is going to hit those ponies." Of course, he wasn't going to, of course.
Oh, that's very interesting. Yeah. Now, what about cinemas? Were there any cinemas?
Cinema in Grange,
yes.
Where the... I don't know what's there now. State agent, I think, in the building as you... As you turn up by the church on the right.
Yes, yes.
There was a laundry there, Lakeland Laundry.
Yes.
Was there, it's moved now. And that was the cinema.
Yes.
And
that's where the toilets are now, is it?
Hmm?
Where the toilets are now.
No.
No.
You know where the corner cafe is at home? That cafe.
Oh, yes, yes.
Above that.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Beyond that.
Yes, yes.
I think it's some other kind of cafe or something beyond it.
Yes.
Being all kinds of things.
Yes. Mm.
But that was
I
the
know
cinema.
What you mean.
Yeah. Yes. And, see, they had quite a lot of pictures, but of course they was, I can't remember what early cinemas didn't talk, did they?
No,
no sound.
The talkies came in when I was about 10 or 11,
yes.
I think, about 18.
Well,
70
that's
years ago.
When young Campbell played the piano, had some accompaniment to the picture.
Yes,
they were just movies, weren't they?
That's right, black and white movies, yes, very interesting. They had some subtitles on them, I think, didn't they?
Yes, they did, captions. And if you could read, you were all right.
You were all right.
If you, they always went too fast for me. I couldn't keep up with the captions.
Yes.
It was that, and then I imagine there was still put on operas in the Victoria Hall every now and then. Some sort of entertainment was there.
Yes.
And have I written anything else down in the way of entertainment? Parkhead. Do you know where Parkhead is?
Parkhead?
Huh?
Parkhead.
Parkhead.
Oh, Parkhead, yes.
Parkhead.
Parkhead. Yes.
Go towards Hooker from here, along the mosses, and then there's a road that goes down lined with walnut trees. It's called Walnut Avenue, and it leads down to, I can't remember the name of that area, but anyway, we used to go to bathe there, and a tragedy happened that the scoutmaster was teaching two boys to swim there. And the scoutmaster and a boy were both drowned.
Was this near Humphrey Head?
Huh?
Not near Humphrey Head, was it?
Before Humphrey Head.
Yes, I did hear about this.
Yes.
Yes, I
heard. Parkhead.
Yes, Morris Unsworth told me about it.
Yes, Humphrey Head was round the corner, further on. Everybody bailed hoops through the village.
Yes, I believe they were very popular.
And a man came round with a barrel organ. And played outside houses and had a monkey.
Oh.
Barrel organ and a monkey.
I see, yes.
I think transport is the next thing, isn't it?
Yes, and I think that's quite an important subject, I think, yes.
No public transport nearer than Cark Railway Station. which took you either to Grange or to Ulverston or to catch the London trains.
Yes.
And
what about were there no buses running?
When I was a child, there
really,
were no buses.
Really?
Wasn't such a thing as a country bus in those
days.
But there was a horse bus at the Cavendish Arms.
Oh.
It was...
Now, was that privately run?
Yes, little horse bus.
Yes.
And I don't know whether it ran regularly to the station, but if people wanted it to run to the station, it did.
Great.
The horse from the Cavendish Arms.
I see.
And they also had a wagonette at Cavendish Arms, which ran in the summer to take people trips into the Lake District.
Yes. Well, not toast racks, was it? What they called toast racks.
A what?
Toast racks. The seating.
Yes, it, no,
it toast rack.
That would be a charabon.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
But this was as far as I remember, the seats faced each other inside.
Oh,
you got
they?
In at the back.
Yes.
And then there were two facing seats.
Oh, I see. I understand.
And I think that was a wagonette.
Yes.
The smaller.
Yes.
But they did make a charabon.
Yes.
A horse charabon. Seats on a dray sort of thing.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I remember going down to the scout camp on one of those.
Really? So when you first came here, the public transport, apart from the railways, was horse-drawn. When you first came, what there was of that sort of transport was horse-drawn.
It was?
Horse-drawn.
Horse-drawn,
yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So, and then when did the Unsworth ran taxi service, I believe, didn't they?
The Unsworth, it was later on they did that.
Yes.
You see, we left in 1918.
Yes.
And this, what I'm telling you now, is what happened before 1918.
Yes, of course it was.
And there were no buses of any kind, no regular bus routes.
Yes.
And anywhere, I don't think, around this area.
Yes.
And then Unsworth boys grew up. They were little boys at this stage.
Yes, yes.
And they grew up and opened the garage. And one, Ernest had the garage, and...
Yes, I got
the other one ran a bus.
Yes, I got the history of that.
Yes.
Yes, Morris Unsworth was born in 1918.
Yes, my father was his godfather.
Gosh. Very interesting.
1918, and my sister was born in 1918 too, and they had the same monthly nurse as Morris and my sister. Well, our own favourite monthly nurse, who came for all of us, was not available. She was another baby. When my brother John was born, Grace was born. No, John. And, the year the war broke out. And so Morris must have been born that year as well. And they had the same monthly nurse. Anyway, they were all the nastiest little boys you can imagine. They were always up to mischief and doing tricks on people. Arthur wasn't in it, my Arthur.
Yes.
Yeah. But they were all right afterwards. The two elder ones were the mischievous ones. And here there was a little school, you see, in Mrs. Robottom's house. There was a little dame school.
Yes, I remember you telling
me. And the two boys went to that and they played havoc with those old ladies.
So I believe,
Now, what else?
What about beggars? Were there any beggars?
Yes, you are.
Any beggars? Begging?
Begging? I can't remember that anybody did.
Really?
It was people called tramps who used to come to the back door occasionally.
Yes.
And they were always given a cup of tea and a piece of bread or something.
Yes, yes.
And I don't think my father ever gave them money because I think he thought it wasn't a good idea.
Go and drink it, yes.
Yes. Well, they used to come to Haverthwaite later on a lot because it was on the main road from Cartmel to Kendal, you see, from Alveston to Kendal. And we were always getting tramps there. And they marked the gateposts, didn't they?
Sorry, where was this? Haverthwaite?
Later on.
Yes.
But I believe the tramps put a mark on the gatepost to say whether it's worth calling or not.
Oh, I believe that is... I heard that story too, yes.
Yes,
was there much real poverty, do you think? I mean, was there much poverty? Were the children...
Well, everybody was poor, you see. Everybody was such low wages.
Because I believe some of the children went to school without any barefoot, didn't they? Some of them.
I don't remember barefoot.
No.
No.
Yeah.
But they had very clumsy shoes.
Yes.
Home cobbled and clog. That sort of thing.
And clogs.
Yes, and clogs. Yes,
yes.
Clogs.
Yes.
A lot of them went in clogs.
Yes.
But I don't think they actually were barefoot. And I think they had warm coats and so on. But you see, now everybody, all the houses were lacking paint. Nobody had their houses painted. Everything was very shabby outside.
Yes.
And patched up.
Yes.
You know, home done.
Mm.
And if the late slate came off, father put it on again and
yes,
so
right.
forth.
Yes. I wondered, before we sign off, could you just tell me, you did tell me you came from a fairly large family, could you just tell me the sequence of your brothers and sisters and when they were born, before we finally finish the tape?
Yes.
Could you, who's the eldest and who, can you?
You want me to tell you now?
Yes, I'll put it on here, yes.
Well, my sister, my father's first curacy was in Barrow, St. George's Barrow,
yes.
And from there he married, he yes. got engaged while he was there, and because they thought it'd be nice for his bride, they sent him to Grange,
yes.
to be curate of Grange,
yes.
And there my sister Elizabeth was born.
She was the first one.
She was the eldest, and that was in 1907.
Yes.
And then from there he moved to Walney. And I was born in 1909 on Walney Island.
Yes.
Great difficulty because the ferry couldn't get the doctor across, and I very nearly wasn't born. And then from there we moved to Cartmore.
Yes.
2 years when my father supervised the building of the church on Walney.
Yes.
And when it was done, he was sent to Cartmore. And there were two little girls by then, you see, my sister and me. And no sooner had we got to Cartmore than Armand was born.
His first boy.
1910.
Yeah.
And then there was a lapse of 3 years. I think my mother felt that 3 babies was enough for the time being. And then Sydney arrived in 1913. And in order that we were all sent to live with and stay with an aunt while Sydney happened. And then a year later, John arrived in 1914, just after war had been declared. August the 25th, his birthday was, and war had been broken out on August the 4th, hadn't it?
Mm.
And so he was to be called John Miles, Miles Military. Celebrate the war, you see, and he was registered as John Miles. And then my eldest uncle wrote to all the family and said, please have all your boys from now on christened Mackenzie, so that they can call themselves Mackenzie Smiths. And so the name was changed, regardless of the register. He was baptized John Mackenzie, not John Miles.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And it made a great impression on me. Because I thought it was a very funny thing to do. And that was 1914. And then there was a long gap of the war and rationing. And I think my mother had a miscarriage during that time.
Yeah.
But I remember her going away to Liverpool, and we none of us quite knew what was the matter with her, you see. But I think that's what it was. And then my sister Grace arrived in 1918,
yeah.
just before the end of the war,
yeah.
1918. And she was the first baby to be baptized in the restored old font.
Oh, yes, yes.
You know, it was brought up from Carp.
Oh, the one that's in the
town choir.
In town choir now, yes, mm-hmm. That's right. Yes.
And it was the original font of the priory.
Yes. Yes, that was interesting.
And it's gone. When the new font was given by the Cavendish family, the big square font
yes.
that was installed, the little font was taken down to Cork to be in a kind of chapel of ease there was down there, not a proper church, but a chapel, and they used it in the chapel. Well, then the Duke of Devonshire built Cork Church, Flutra Church, and put a font and everything in, so they no longer needed the chapel of ease.
So it came back again.
Huh?
It came back again.
Well, not quite.
No.
No, it was put out into the Market Square, after the chapel was used
there. At Flutra.
It stood up. The font stood in the middle of the Market Square at Flutra, and people said cats were drowned in it, they said. And it was just there, you see, in a bird bath kind of thing. Until the vicar of Flutra, who was Canon Sam Taylor, and my father put their heads together and decided it ought to come back to the priory.
Right,
so they brought it back, and Sam Taylor baptized my sister in it as the first baby. And it's a bit of her history that she was very fond of. He's great fun, Sam Taylor was.
I like his book.
We loved him as children.
Yes,
he was good fun to play with.
Very popular. Yes.
He never had any children of his own. He's very good to everybody else's. Now he's had a car. The Remingtons had a car. The McGregors, Lady McGregor had a car. And I think the Newboats did, who lived where they were Hibberts, Desmond Hibbert. Do you not know him?
No.
Well, his aunts were called Newboat, and they had lived there, and they had a car, actually. But there were no other cars.
Yes.
I mean, people went by them horses.
Yes, I think appreciate that.
And Hooker, I never saw a car driven from Hooker.
Yes.
They all had horse carriages.
Yes, yes.
And a trap.
Yes.
One of the girls drove a trap.
Yes.
Scoop. They called them governess carts. Governess carts.
Yes. Good.